Welcome to another episode of Grit Northwest. I'm Joe Cadwell, president of the Northwest Carpenters Union, writer, producer, and your host of this podcast. The goal of Grit Northwest is to introduce you to the various trades, personalities, and issues relevant to the construction industry in our region. Through informative and insightful interviews, I hope to enable you to develop a stronger understanding of what it means to be a member of the Carpenters Union and show you how you can become a proud guardian of the deep and rich legacy that those who came before us worked so hard to build. From leadership development and training to politics and organizing, my goal is to engage, educate, and energize you to take charge of your future. If you enjoy Grit Northwest, please consider joining Grit Nation by clicking on the hyperlink in the show notes for this episode. You'll be kept up to date on special offers and promotions available to members, and you'll be entered to win an official I've Got Grit t-shirt when you do. Our guest today is Lisa Marks. Lisa is a journey-level scaffolder, a member of the Local 70, and a passionate advocate of career opportunities for women in the trades. We will open today's conversation by learning how Lisa first became interested in scaffolding as a career and how that decision transformed her life for the better when she joined the UBC. Next, we'll delve into what opportunities are available for those interested in becoming a professional carpenter and discuss some of the assistance programs designed to help those just starting off to get off on the right foot. Later, Lisa will tell us about the recent Trades Women Build Nation virtual conference she attended and investigate the additional challenges women may face on the field, such as sexism, harassment, and implicit bias. We'll then wrap up our conversation by discussing the importance of developing support groups in order to gain confidence and craft skills to be successful on the job. And now, on to the show. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm humbled and honored, and you know, I want to thank you for putting these shows together and using this platform so that we can reach out to more of our members and stuff. It's really great, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you for that. I've obviously been very fortunate to have such great listeners and providing content that people are engaged in hearing, and that's why I was really excited to have you on the show today. So, Lisa, can you tell us, the listeners, a little bit more about yourself?
My name is Lisa Marks, and I am a North Puget Sound Carpenters Local 70 Journey Level Scaffold Erector. I'm also an officer and a delegate from my local and the Sisters in the Brotherhood Chair.
And I understand you started your career as a scaffolder, and you actually went through the scaffold apprenticeship. What got you interested in scaffolding?
Well, it's kind of a long story how I came in, but I'm going to try to shorten the version down a little bit. Scaffolding wasn't really something that I had thought about doing, but over a series of events and stuff throughout my life, I had worked retail pretty much my whole life, doing multiple jobs to make it by and raise my kids. And when the economy crashed, so did my careers and my life, because there wasn't a whole lot of jobs out there. And I was down to donating plasma and working at whatever odd jobs I could get to survive. And then I had some friends who told me about getting into carpentry and apprenticeship. And so I went down to the hall and I applied. And because of the recession, there weren't a lot of jobs available in carpentry. So they told me about the scaffold program, and they didn't have any women in the scaffold program. And because there's so many refineries up here, I, you know, knew that I'd be able to stay working and keep my apprenticeship hours and stuff. So I was like, sure, I'll try it. And I interviewed and I got in, and the rest was history. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot of programs. Well, I should say one at the time that helped me come in too, because, you know, I was almost homeless. I was just about ready to live in a storage unit. And so I didn't have a lot of money, and I didn't know how I was going to get my tools and all my stuff to get started. So I heard about this program called ANU, which is Apprenticeship and Non-Traditional Employment for Women. And they were able to help me get my tools and my boots, my rain gear, and different things that I needed to start getting into my apprenticeship. So that was pretty cool too.
So it sounds like you benefited greatly from the, obviously, the apprenticeship program, the ANEW program, and you are now giving back to those programs from what I understand. Can you tell us more about your involvement in pre-apprenticeships and what you're doing with developing community partner relationships?
This apprenticeship meant so much to me, and getting involved in the trades and everything really opened my eyes to stuff that I never imagined I could ever do or achieve, especially as a woman. And I came in as an older woman. There were all of these different, there's more of these different pre-apprenticeship programs and stuff out there now that can help women and other underrepresented populations come in to these wonderful trades careers. So many people don't think about them and don't even know that the trades exist and can be an option for them. And now with all of the different pre-apprenticeship programs and community resources and community partners coming together and stuff, I mean, it's really opened up opportunity for so many other people to come into the trades. NWCI actually has a pre-apprenticeship program. I believe PNCI has a pre-apprenticeship program, kind of. Don't you guys have one?
Yeah, that is correct. Amber McCoy runs the pre-apprentice for us down here in Southwest Washington and in Oregon. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with the acronyms, PNCI is the Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute, and NWCI is up in Seattle in the Puget Sound area, and that's the Northwest Carpenters Institute. And those are the union apprentice programs, basically a four-year-long construction college. And the pre-apprenticeship programs are designed to allow people that maybe don't have a complete understanding of what an apprenticeship is or what it's like to work in the trades. It gives them a somewhat of a taste.
Thank you for that. That was awesome. I sometimes forget and I talk with these acronyms and realize that, you know, the listeners probably aren't going to exactly understand what all these acronyms are. So thank you.
No problem. So here's another acronym then. The Sisters in the Brotherhood, or SIB, is a very active group, especially down our way with, again, Amber McCoy and Desi Wright's involvement, gathering onwards up to 50, 60, 70 brothers and sisters coming to these meetings on a monthly basis pre-COVID time. They're now meeting virtually. Are you involved with the sisters group up in the Puget Sound area?
Yes, I am. I'm actually the North Puget Sound Sisters chair. In Washington State, we actually have, I believe, four active chapters. So we've got a chapter in Eastern Washington, Spokane area. We have one up here up north in North Puget Sound. We have one centrally, central Puget Sound, which would be mostly like the local 30 area. And then we have South Puget Sound, which would be, you know, Tacoma and all the area that's kind of south of Seattle, pretty much. And all of our chapters are very active. And pre-COVID, we were up here up north because we don't have, you know, as many sisters, but we were probably getting about 15 a month at our meetups and everything. And then now we're actually doing virtual meetups. So we're not letting COVID stop us. We're all still, you know, making sure that we're staying together and getting together at least virtually. And we've been having, oh gosh, anywhere from 25 to maybe 50 on a call. And those meetings have been very nice and very helpful and very beneficial, I think, to a lot of our sisters. I know that Desi in your area in Oregon, Desi Wright, she has been running some sisters meetings virtually as well. And she's been getting really good attendance too at hers. I've been dropping in on her meetings and stuff too. Now, the nice thing I like about this virtual format, and it's become so popular really, that sisters are asking that we do a hybrid even when things open back up so that we can run, you know, like a video type call for, because sometimes the sisters are working late, you know, and they get home and they still want to come to the meeting, but they got stuff they got to do with, you know, cooking dinner and getting the kids and, you know, homework done and all that kind of stuff. So they want to still meet, but maybe they can't go to the physical place to meet. So they're hoping that we can maybe stay with sort of like a hybrid format and be able to do it in person for those that want to come in person, and then virtual for sisters that want to join in from other areas.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that COVID is challenging and as uncomfortable as it has been. Has definitely opened up a lot of opportunity for growth within our organization using these virtual conferences. We had Paul Philpott on recently and talked about the growth of the Carpenters in Action group, and Dale Dvorak was recently on to talk about veterans in the Brotherhood, and those groups are also meeting virtually. So there's a great opportunity there for us to connect our 29,000 members here in the Northwest Council. So speaking of large virtual gatherings, a few weeks ago, I understand you were involved with the Trade Women's Build Nation event. Would you care to tell our listeners a little bit more about what that event was and what you experienced?
Sure, I will. Thank you for asking. That was a great event, and you know, really grateful that it was even able to go forward and happen, because with COVID, so many things had been closed down, and we really thought that this event was going to be closed down too, because it was supposed to be in person in New Orleans, because it travels around to different parts of the country. The caucus went ahead and was able to go forward, and so we were able to have our Carpenter Sisters Caucus on actually Friday the 16th, and about 300 sisters actually were on there from all across the country and Canada. So at that caucus, we had the opportunity to listen to quite a few guest speakers. They had some good in-depth political reports. We had time for questions and answers. And then my favorite part, we got to jump in on some breakout sessions. And in those breakout sessions, we got to meet sisters from all across the country. And that just always is really cool to me, because it's kind of neat to see what is happening in other parts of the world, other parts of the state, you know, and other parts of the country. Because even though we have a lot of the same issues and barriers and things that we deal with, it's kind of neat to hear about what's happening in other areas that's different, what they're doing different, how they're handling things different, and just be able to share those best practices and lean on each other and just, you know, visit. It was really cool. I got paired up with a whole group of sisters from like New York, New Jersey, Boston. It was fun.
What are some of those issues or some of the barriers or challenges of being a woman carpenter in today's modern construction industry workplace?
Well, I'd say a lot of our main barriers, of course, are the gender stereotypes. You know, is she going to be strong enough? Is she going to be smart enough? Is she going to be able to handle doing this? You know, a lot of times we're doubted. Sometimes it's lack of confidence, which is where pre-apprenticeship is coming in really nice and handy, because with pre-apprenticeship, people have the opportunity to get a lot of that training, you know, learning those math skills, learning those measuring skills, learning all the other skills that you need, like conflict resolution and a bunch of how-tos, tricks and tips and all that kind of stuff. It just builds your confidence. And then that way, when you get on the job site, it's not quite as scary of a place and you feel like you can compete. There's also lack of role models. That's why it's really nice to have these sisters groups and see so many sisters starting to get involved in volunteering and stuff, because women got to see it to be it. And if you don't have a role model, an example, another sister who's especially in leadership or other areas, it's really hard to see yourself there. And so it's really nice to see more women role models coming out. There's, of course, the discrimination and being passed over for promotion. Sometimes as women, we can try and try and try. And sometimes, you know, we try too hard and can get perceived wrong. And sometimes, you know, I mean, it just seems like even if we have the same qualifications, and maybe even if we exceed qualifications for a promotion, sometimes we're looked over. And I'd say that's kind of a big one. And then, of course, the harassment, sometimes not getting enough on the job training, Because sometimes, you know, they have a tendency to put the woman on the, here's the broom. Here, go clean that garbage up over there. Why don't you straighten this pile of wood up over here? You know, we're not actually always being able to have the tools in our hands. And that can get us behind, which is another thing with pre-apprenticeship and some of the things that some of the training centers have been doing. I know that NWCI for a while had this great program that we had put together called SHARP, which stood for Skills Help Apprentices Remain Productive. And it was a program that we had put together to help get sisters some of that extra training. So if they felt like they were getting behind, sisters could come in and we would give them some hands-on experience with one-on-one, smaller groups, so that they'd have the opportunity to be able to make mistakes in a comfortable atmosphere, ask questions, and kind of get up to speed with their on-the-job training so that they don't get behind in apprenticeship. I'd say that's probably one of the biggest areas where we lose a lot of our sisters, is them just not being able to keep up on their hours or getting behind in their apprenticeship.
Which is a real disservice to them and to our craft and our organization. I know great effort has been made to introduce the positive job site culture training down here in Portland, Southwest Washington through PNCI. And I believe the team that's responsible for that is trying to take our message council-wide. But it is something that's unfortunate, and it is enlightening to hear the struggles that are not only taking place for sisters up in our part of the country, but all across the country, it sounds like.
You know, another thing that we have too, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to add in there, because one of the things that I didn't talk about with pre-apprenticeship that actually helps with retention is they have a lot of funding programs. And I've really been trying to get it out there to all of the apprentices that there is funding out there and there's resources. So a lot of the same entities that offer the pre-apprenticeship can also offer help for paying dues, helping with rent, childcare, gas cards, different things. You know, there's a lot of barriers that sometimes a lot of our apprentices face, male or female. There is help and there's resources out there. There's even help out there for, like, if you have driver's license issues and need help getting your driver's license reinstated. I mean, there's just a plethora of help and everything that's out there now to try to help us keep our apprentices in the game. And a lot of that is another one of those things that came out of City of Seattle with their RPAC committee and all the work that they've done to try and bring all of the community partners together at one table and build something to where everybody's working together and we're being able to get the best work done and the best support out to all of our apprentices to keep this workforce built up and keep everybody in the game.
That I'll make sure to add a lot of those links that you talked about in the show notes that are accessible at the end of the show from the website or on your Spotify or Apple Podcast.
I actually do have a resource guide that I will send you, and it's got all of that stuff on that. And then the sisters meetings, I know some people may want to know when and where they can find sisters meetings that are still meeting virtually. And that would actually be on the NW Carpenters website. So the Northwest Carpenters website, you should be able to get on there and go into their events calendar. And then if you look in the events calendar, there is usually a link or, you know, a date and a time. And if it doesn't have that on there, then you can reach out to your local area rep or your local office, and they can usually let you know how you can get the link to be able to join in on those meetings.
Well, thank you for that. And Lisa, before we wrap up the conversation, it sounds like you've obviously benefited greatly from your signing up with the Carpenters Union, and it's put your life on a pretty positive track. For someone who's listening now, who is sort of just starting out and wants to give back to the organization like you have done so well, what words of advice do you have for them?
I would say get involved. Go to your local, join a group, whether that be Sisters in the Brotherhood, your CIA, your Carpenters in Action, your veterans groups, your veterans in the Brotherhood. Get involved. Get involved politically. Make sure you're voting. Make sure you're getting involved in your community. This is your union. Take ownership. Show your pride. Get out there and get involved.
Well, thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show. We really appreciate it. And good luck with everything you're doing to help make our organization better.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you again so much. And thanks for all you're doing.
Our guest today was Lisa Marks from Local 70 in the North Puget Sound. Be sure to check out the show notes to get more information on the programs referenced in the episode. Well, that wraps up this edition of Grit Northwest. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with friends, family members, and fellow carpenters. And if you haven't already done so, please take a moment to post a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help others find the show. Till next time, this is Joe Cadwell reminding you to work safe, work smart, and stay union strong.